Greetings and welcome to Complexity Talk Radio, Complexity Live with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Colbreth. You may call us to share your thoughts, to pose a question, or to give a general comment by dialing 914-338-1308. And now, Dr. Colbreth.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Complexity Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Donna Maria Colbreth, with our co-host, Dr. Julie Jung Kim. Good evening, Dr. Jung Kim. How are you tonight?
I am wonderful. It's good to be back.
I know it is, isn't it? I've missed the show. We have been so busy, gang, making changes, expanding, adding, but we've been having fun. And we have a new show lineup that will surprise you in, July. So we're excited about that. And tonight, what's really great, we're going to talk about women of color being more than just trend or stereotypes. Because Dr. Jung Kim and I were talking about this a couple of months ago. And it's just to the point where we're seeing too much of it. Right, Dr. Jung Kim?
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't seem like things are improving. It's just, so that's why it's so important to be discussing it. And I'm glad that this is the topic for tonight.
You know, because there's so much we're seeing. And here's the biggest issue that really ripped me this week. There was a video that was posted on a website this week. I'm not even going to bother mentioning the name of the site. And it said, this video shows what media has made black women become.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows two young girls in the video using profanity and swearing and just acting out. Just behaviors highly unbecoming of any young woman. And my problem with that, Dr. Jung Kim, was, you know, let's stop looking at, here we are, here, this is, I think it was a black site, and here was my problem with it. Instead of them posting something positive that's uplifting, that's encouraging, or celebrating girls and women of color, they're posting this lewd garbage. And I don't think that the media has made them become that. If they're participating in that behavior, they're doing that on their own. Because if you have common sense, you would know better. So I responded to it. And I asked her point blank, you know, why are you even posting this? Such negativity, you know, especially about black women, because we need to see something positive, something uplifting. With all the issues, events, and stories, I even said to her, why aren't they talking about what we're trying to do? Celebrating, embracing, and empowering girls and women of color. Well, guess what, Dr. Jung Kim? No response.
Mm.
And it's sad when we're seeing these issues play out in the media. There's the issue with Cheryl Lynn and Anita Baker. That's an issue on Twitter where they're going back and forth. And it seems to be, you know, they talk about the white media looking at women of color in a negative light, which, you know, at times they do. But when we see blacks doing it themselves, that is even a bigger issue for me. Because you're embracing and showcasing negativity within the race, and there's nothing positive. I don't think they understand the effects or the negativity that they're spewing with this. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. I don't think they understand how it's really harming, you know, the way that other people view blacks or that blacks view themselves, but also most importantly that we really need to really consider is, you and I have discussed this, I really think that, you know, they're doing this on purpose, obviously, because they really don't want black people to be seen as equals, but then, you know, that would make them equal, which you don't want. So they want black people to be seen in these negative ways because then, you know, they want to keep them at that lower level and make sure that they stay in that perspective. There's so many opportunities, especially popping up of young girls and women who've been so successful, who are breaking the glass ceiling. And, I mean, they're discussed, but they're only discussed by, like, you know, black magazines or black writers, but the main media, they may like point it out, but there's not that much focus. But oh my goodness, like a black person who was shot, you know, doing something gang-related or prostitute-like, well, let's just totally put that in the news and keep covering and covering and covering it, because, you know, who wants these black people to be seen as equals to other, you know, other races, especially, you know, white people. And that's why even in movie roles, like, they're always playing, they're not the leaders, they're not the brains, they're the thugs, they're the prostitutes, you know, they're the people on welfare. You know, that's the way the movies want to show them. And then, of course, people who are naive are just going to believe it. Yeah, this is what black people are. And that's why when I see a black person, especially one that wears dreadlocks, because we all know black people who have dreadlocks are all on drugs. That's what, you know, society and movies tell us, that we need to grip our purse tighter or cross the street so we do not encounter them, because we should be scared of black people. And let me tell you, the darker the skin, we should be even more scared of them.
That's
ridiculous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Excellent points. And it's gotten to the point now where I'm saying to myself, you know what, this is just ridiculous. And I can even bring up, like, the recent events that happened in Baltimore City with the, after the Freddie Gray issue, where the boy was killed by the police officers. The media took that and made it a three-ring circus. And you don't see them showcasing anything positive. And I'll tell you this, Dr. Jung Kim, I've even said things to them about what we're doing to celebrate and embrace. I sent it to the mayor of Baltimore City. I sent it to Michelle Obama. I sent it to Charlene de Blasio, the mayor of New York's wife, saying to them, listen, join us. We're celebrating, embracing girls and women of color. We're trying to lift them up. And this is what gets me. They sit around and people complain, Dr. Jung Kim, about how we're being, women of color specifically, are treated in the media with the negativity, the stereotypes, seeing them as just being trans. But yet, when we try to do something that's lifting, you don't get the response or the participation. So that makes me wonder. I think you're making a very good point when you said that they want the old stereotypical views or the negativity that you're spewing. They want people to keep believing that, because there's nothing, they don't want the world to see anything positive or uplifting or embracing about women, especially people of color. And
yeah, and of course, like, you know, if a black person who is very articulate or, you know, very successful in school, even though he or she may look, have great resume, great background, I mean, if someone who is not black had the same resume or even less of a resume, I mean, the black person would still be less likely to get hired because, you know, with all those negative stereotypes, black people are non-intelligent, they're lazy, you know, they just want to live on welfare, they don't like working. I mean, and all these thoughts, and when they hit the job market, those people who are hiring do not have an open mind. They believe in these myths, and they don't want to hire the black people because they think, well, I'm not going to spend my time or waste my time investing in that person, training them, because we all know black people are only, you know, the backups, the sidekicks. They
That's
never
right.
take the lead. They're never the leaders. So why invest in them? Because they're lazy. But, oh, my goodness. Now, if they were to play sports, then, you know, and I have to place bets, then, yeah, of course, I place my bet on a black person. But in the real rest of the world, black people are only good for athletics, and they're not good for anything else, and that's what society tells you. Or they're good at hip-hop or rap, but besides that, then they're just welfare people.
That's what, and what bothers me, Dr. Jung Kim, is that when I see these black online blogs and online magazines that are run by black people, when I see them posting the same nonsense, you know, my question to them is, you're just as guilty of doing the same thing, and it doesn't make any sense. So it's just like today when I was talking to, you know, we'll get back into the topic in a minute, you know, about colorism issues. Four incidents this week I've heard of where it's been involved with girls. Well, I'm sorry, three incidents involved young girls. The other one involved a grown woman making distinctions about skin color, telling someone they were ugly because their skin was dark. And these are young kids doing this. So when you see it and you talk of, you know, one of my best students some years ago was sharing a story today on Facebook about how a little light-skinned girl told her daughter she was ugly because her skin is black. And here's the sad part. This little girl is so doggone beautiful, she could be a model anywhere. She's gorgeous. And out of all the black kids, and this is my point, out of all of the black kids that were around, none of them came to her defense. A little white boy came to her defense and said, no, she's pretty, plus she's smart. So it's like we're conditioned not to speak up. When I was in the store a couple of days ago, maybe weeks ago, there was an incident there where one lighter-skinned girl told a darker-skinned girl she was ugly, and I think she called her a gorilla or an ape. I don't remember what term she used. And I stood there, and I'm like, she called her the B word, and I instantly jumped on it. And guess what the argument was about? The argument was about because the darker-skinned woman who was heavy said had her wagon in the middle of the aisle, and she knows I've done that myself. You're absent-minded, you're not paying attention. And you walk over to pick up something, and you totally forget to move your wagon. Well, instead of the, and I'm coming down the beginning of the aisle, so I'm seeing everything. So instead of her saying to, excuse me, can you move your wagon, she starts with the profanity and cursing at the woman. And the lady goes, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't even see. And she goes, you big, fat, black, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes on to make comments about how dark, ugly skin color. And Dr. Jung Kim, you know me. I had to say something, and I just told the point blank, you know, this is like the third incident in a grocery store that I've seen with colorism. And what makes you think that you're better than her because your skin is lighter? And I told her, you know, there's enough negativity in the world, and as women of color, we need to be celebrating, embracing each other, pushing each other up, supporting each other, not getting out in public. And here's the thing. By the time she started getting loud, Dr. Jung Kim, there were other people coming down the aisle. Do you know, nobody said one word. They just looked.
I'm not surprised. Of course.
And, you know, it's the same thing like with what my student was saying about what her daughter went through. We have to learn to speak up and be the voice. You have voices, make them heard. If you hear someone making disparaging comments, especially about a woman of color, you need to speak up and take a stand because it exists because we don't talk about it. And then people like you and I, when we talk about it, they don't like it. But it's too bad because that's why we continue to see the issues that we're seeing. And when you see young girls doing it, unbelievable. But they're learning it from home. That's what I believe.
Not only that,
the media, when you turn on television, what you see on the media, and like I've the negativity I've seen in the media is like always showcasing something negative about black people. But on top of that, if you do seriously look at some of the shows on television, any show that's dealing with people of color is always some clowning around, buffoonery, joking, mocking the black culture, black race, their culture, values, or we're unscrupulous, unethical people. We don't really see shows, and I hate people are not going to like this, but too bad I'm going to say it, like The Cosby Show. When The Cosby Show was on the air, it was an engaging show, it was intellectual, and it showed that people of color, black people, could be something more than thugs and gangbangers, because that's how they depict us. And a lot of people get annoyed when you say, oh, thugs. I'm like, well, no, I'm not calling them thugs. I'm saying this is how they're depicting them. They're using the terms that they're thugs. Dr. Thief.
Right.
Oh. I had to clarify that with someone the other day, and I had to make sure he understood. That's not my terminology. I'm saying exactly what they're saying. I'm repeating it in quotes. But it's just sad. And then we see how women of color are always like, you and I had this conversation months ago. I remember it was about the article. What magazine was it in? It was published in January, then it resurfaced back a couple of months ago on Twitter, where they're talking about the 21 beauty twins that needed to die in 2015.
Oh, yeah. I think that was Time Magazine.
Yeah, they only used women of color that were, how was it? They said that the twins that needed to die, to rest in peace, they used women of color for those. And that started a big...
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, Cosmopolitan, okay. It started a big controversy because it's like as if black women were seen as trends. And I think that the biggest issue is that people just don't get it, Dr. Jung Kim. I think that people are so accustomed to white privilege. They're so accustomed as to going along in the world and basically ignoring people of color or letting them fit in when they want them to. And I think that's a big issue, too. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, that was, like you just mentioned, that trend from Cosmopolitan of beauty trends that need to die in 2015. I mean, that does, I can't even believe that you know, Rest in Peace, even went as far as the editor, and that some editor actually okayed that would be okay in, like, a national kind of magazine to even write that, like, without even seeing the racism behind it. It was pure stupidity on their part. But also, you know, it just makes me think of, remember you and I have talked about, like, the doll test and how even when given the opportunity, the black girls, of what doll they wanted, they chose the doll with the lighter skin. And it kind of goes, it just kind of, like, reminds me of how, like, obviously, you would think, like, a person who's black would want to have a doll that looks like them, like, who's also black. But it's kind of like, I don't know if those little girls back then, like, felt the pressure to choose a doll that was different from them because they know, like, society says, like, lighter skin is more beautiful. Or it's just an issue of, you know, there comes a time where you kind of become numb. You see something wrong being done to those people who are in the same race or ethnicity or whatever as you, and you just kind of, like, you become numb to it. You no longer are, I don't know, not able to, or just to say, you know what, that's not right. You know, I need to take a stand that's wrong. Like, we don't treat other people like that, but that's a human being. And you don't call another person just because of the color of their skin that they're of less value or they're ugly, you know, because nobody is ugly. Everyone has the same worth. I mean, even if you come from a different social background or get your education from a different school, you're all someone of worth. And, you know, everyone has the opportunity to try to be successful, and to kind of base someone's beauty or opportunities based off the skin color, it's just so damaging to so many people, to our young people, especially our young girls. I mean, they see this in beauty ads, like the Photoshop, the lightening of the skin. In India, you know, like, there's so many commercials out there, even for your private area, just saying, hey, if you don't even have it white down there, then no one's going to love you or find you attractive, which is ridiculous. Like, you know, that's not what love should be based off of, is how white your private parts are or how white or fair your skin color is. I mean, is it too much to ask that you love someone, you fall in love with someone because of their brain, because of the connection you have? It should not be based off someone's skin color or the fact that you could possibly someday have a baby that's light-skinned. And, you know, like, what happened to our society that's the way people think? And now think that that's okay to think like that. I mean, that's really frightening.
It is. And you know what? I think when you see young people doing it, when they're not corrected, they grow up with that mentality and the belief, like you said, it's okay, there's nothing wrong. So what, I said someone dark is ugly, because they are ugly, because society has historically said that if your skin is dark, you're not pretty, you're not attractive. So what we start seeing is that now, like, we're in 2015, the millennium, you know, if you think back and see and look at history and see where we've come from and where we are today, you would actually think that perhaps some of this would have stopped. And if, even if not outside of a particular races, within races, because there have been so many issues and negativity they've had to deal with, but we're not seeing it. It's just like yesterday in Maryland, a young girl, very attractive girl, who's had several surgeries done, went to have one of those butt injections at someone's basement in New York City. And, yeah, her mother took her there. And whatever the injection was, she started having breathing problems, and mother couldn't revive her. The girl died, and the woman fled the scene, left the basement. So, make a long story short, people on Facebook were, you know, going back and forth discussing it. And first of all, it goes back to stop trying to be a part of the trend. And one guy wrote a post on there, and he said, I thought that black women having these, you know, getting the butt injections, having big butts was a trend that ran out months ago. And I'm saying to myself, everybody there, they were talking about it being a trend, or like them getting these injections or the Brazilian butt lift. It's a trend. And one lady made a good point. She said, we must learn to love ourselves for, you know, how God has made you. Now, there's nothing wrong with coloring your hair, you know, wearing your makeup, maybe the nails, and enhancing yourself. But when you go through extreme measures, you're making poor judgments, poor decisions on altering your body, that you will go to somebody's basement for a surgical procedure. So
yeah.
The media jumped all over that, Dr. John Kim. They were everywhere you turned yesterday, especially in Maryland, that's all you heard on the news. And it's because someone, a girl, made a bad choice, made a dumb decision, didn't think, her mom didn't think, she's dead. But at the end of the day, when there's something positive that women of color are doing, the media is so reluctant to report it. And I just think that it's at the point now where even with some of those talk shows that come on in the daytime, and you know, it's funny, Dr. John Kim, I even watched a couple of them just to gauge and see what they were doing. They don't really address anything that is remotely close to the interest of a person of color. And if they do, it's something negative. When they talk about women of color, it's always they have the women who are on the show as the co-hosts who are just like so out of touch with reality of what women of color deal with. Until it makes me wonder, what message are they trying to send to society? What are they trying to say about women of color?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, what you just said kind of reminds me of, so back in April, I don't know if you heard of it, but before April, there were these different challenges, like, going on. Like, the last big, like, big challenge that was all over society and on YouTube was the Ice Bucket Challenge, where people to raise money would pour ice on themselves. So the most recent challenge that was happening in April was something called the Kylie Jenner Lip Challenge. Did you hear about that?
So,
Kylie Jenner is one of the Kardashians, and what she was telling young, impressionable young girls and women was, you know, do you want a full, you know, do you want big lips like a black person? But of course, like all these people are like, no, not like a black person, but like Kylie Jenner. But come on, we all know who has, you know, big, full, beautiful lips, black people.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what she was telling these people to do was, I challenge you to take a shot glass, put your lips in it, and just suck. So then your lips swell, they bruise, and then your lips will look full. So who needs Botox? All you need to do is take a shot glass, put your lips in it, and just suck, 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 and then your lips will swell. So all of these young girls were going on YouTube, trying to copy, doing this. They all wanted the big lips, not to look like a black person, remind you, but to look like Kylie Jenner. And the funny thing is all these beautiful black women came on and said, wait, you know, why is this a trend? Like, this is beautiful having full lips, but let's give it back to the race that really has these lips. It's not Kylie Jenner, it's black women. And yet, you know, this is the very thing. Our lips is what you make fun of. So it was kind of like a slap in the face. But, I mean, all these people are like, no, 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 not like a black person. No, no, no. But anyway, it caused a lot of damage to the young girls who were doing this, like to the part that it caused them to swell. They had to go to the hospital because it was so bruised up. Because they kept doing it and doing it and doing it because they wanted these plump, plump lips. You know, it just goes into, like, you know, and some people are like, oh, people just always want what they don't have. But it's just kind of funny in the way that the very thing that society says is ugly, big lips, big butts that, you know, black people have.
That's right.
People are always trying to achieve.
So and you know what?
We need to stop criticizing and, you know, stop saying what's beautiful and what's not beautiful and just accept, you know, we are beautiful. Everyone is beautiful. So stop being racist and saying that a certain race, because they have big lips or big butt, is ugly, when there's a whole part of society that wants that and go to these very, like, damaging, unhealthy ways to go do it, like in a basement or bruising, you know, like, come on. We need to talk to our women and girls and, you know, really, I mean, someone really needs to, I think more people need to really listen to what I Am Beautiful and everything that you have created, join on and really help our young women to have a stronger self-confidence in themselves, because society is constantly knocking them down, telling them what's beautiful and what's not.
And it's there because they begin to believe it. And they, and then it's like another thing I noticed was the other day, and I don't know what I was looking at, where it seems like on the news, that's what it was. The news, in the morning news, I think it was, I forgot the channel, but they're actually telling young girls, if you want to look like Beyonce, if you want to dress like this person, and I'm saying, and I think the host said something to the effect that if you want to be, you know, up and coming and you want to be noticed and get attention and recognized, then you need to be dressing like Beyonce. And I'm saying to myself, mm-hmm. you complete idiot, because that is what's wrong mm-hmm. with society. Let's stop. And then another problem I have is that the media is always trying to take something that a movie star, actress, or musician, somebody says, and it's the gospel. And everybody should listen yep. to them because the person said it. No matter how stupid, how ridiculous, how ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just terrible. And I'm saying to myself, does anybody realize that the, you know, the media does have a lot of influence, but what I think the important thing is that girls and women of color have to know who they are, their own identity, love who they are, and embrace them, embrace their mm-hmm. beauty, whether enhanced with hair colors. Oh, and then that's another thing. A lady and I had a discussion yesterday about hair. And I'm saying, you know what, I could care less if somebody has natural hair or they wear their hair relaxed or permed or if they have a weave or they wear a wig. That is a personal decision, a personal choice. She thought it was okay, Dr. Jung Kim, to attack other women who relax their hair or dye their hair, who don't wear their hair natural. And I had to explain to her, you know, you don't understand. That's your choice. You choose to wear your hair natural, so you wear your hair natural. If someone chooses not to wear their hair natural, why are you making an issue about it? Why are you talking about them in a negative light? Why are you being so nasty about it? And her only thing that she could say, Dr. Duncan, was that she just didn't like it. And that's something we have to look at also. You know, just like the natural hair thing, she said, well, that's the trend now. That's the trend to go natural. Maybe next year, 2 years from now, a couple of months, the natural hair trend may be out. And then she kept going. I said, wait a minute. That's the problem. We are more than just trends. And I don't think she understood it, Dr. Jung Kim. I don't think she got it. I think it went way over. And I just didn't have the time because I was too busy to try and get her to see the point. I mean, there are a lot of issues. There are a lot of issues with women of color being seen as trends, where they're stereotyped into certain roles. You have to portray a certain behavior. And if they don't, and here's something else. If they don't, they don't want to hire them. They don't want to include them. I had another conversation with a friend about working on a college campus. And she made a really good point when she said, have you noticed, if you go on college campuses and you look at the professors, most of the professors who they do hire or they put in positions, as long as you're very ethnic and very black, Afrocentric, they're in. But if you break from that norm and you're different in your personality, your style of dress, your hair color, the way you speak, they don't want you there because they don't know how to categorize you or whether or not you would fit in with the whites or with the blacks. And my response to her was that that's the issue of diversity. That is the problem. Because she's having problems on her campus. But I think that some of the issues that we are seeing with women being stereotyped is that so many women may, and I'm saying this cautiously, may begin to believe, Dr. Jung Kim, that if they don't fit these stereotypes, they won't be accepted by society. And I think that's where the danger comes in. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, they feel like if they don't follow these trends or fit these certain categories and looks or, you know, the way they style their hair or whatever it may be, they feel like their life is not worth as much just based off of that. And that's the thing that's scary, because that will lead to depression, low self-esteem, just feelings of worthlessness. And, you know, as a young girl who's trying to figure out who she is, to hear by society and TV and by your family or people in school that you're not worth that much, it's very damaging. And I think, you know, with our women of color and our girls, I mean, we really need to find different ways to encourage them to be like, your looks are not everything. And let me take you aside and show you what, you know, these basic things of developing your writing, everything that you've been talking about, you know, in I Am Beautiful, developing your writing skills, like excelling in school, finding good mentors, like developing your brain, exercise, you know, staying healthy, taking care of your skin, not because you want to follow a trend, but just because to feel good about yourself, to pamper yourself. And these are things that we need to really encourage in just women, all women, especially women of color who are constantly bombarded every day, everywhere they look. You're not worth that much, you know, and even Cosmopolitan in, you know, Trends That Need to Die in 2015. I mean, what is that? We need to stop defining beauty based off looks or by a trend and start saying, you know what, you can do so much with your life. You don't need to listen to society. You don't have to listen to these negative voices. Shut them away. Walk away from these people, from things that are negative, that are bringing you down, and work on you. What's going to make you happy? What's going to help you to be successful in life? And I think we also need more women, older women, to be like, I've been there. Let me walk beside you. And that's why I love everything that you have been doing, Dr. Colbert. Everything. You get it. You get these young girls. You want to mentor them. You want to encourage them to, you know, climb higher. And you don't stop there. You keep going even with Fabulous 50. I mean, it should not end. It should be a continuing cycle, because we need to stop this damaging cycle. We need to have a more positive cycle. And I think everything you're doing is just continuing in the right manner. And you know what? I think you need to be applauded.
Thank you. Thank you. It's work. And you know what? It's so much work. Well, Dr. John Kim knows we work like two little busy beavers, and there are times when we don't get a chance to come up from air. But the key thing is that when you don't hear from us, trust us. Trust me, we're working on something phenomenal. It's just like something else you made a good point I wanted to bring up, or also, is that when these people do make negative stereotypes or try and label women of color as trans, then this is what really rips me, Dr. John Kim. They come back with these cockamamie, insensitive, unsensitive, whatever the word is. They're not sincere apologies. Oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean to offend you. But my response to that is, you know what? You should know better and do better. Because,
yeah.
And, you know, we know in the fashion and the beauty industry, even in the media, there's a blatant lack of diversity. But in embracing diversity, they have to understand that women of color, you know, there's not a one-size-fits-all category for us. We're all different. We're all unique. And again, I hate to keep saying this over and over again, but if you're a woman of color and you don't fit those stereotypical views that they think a woman of color should fit into, then they get stuck. They're shocked. They don't know how to react, how to respond. And what's sad about it is that they don't know how to categorize you. And what's worse is that why do you feel that you even need to categorize a woman of color? Why can't you just be Jane Doe? Embrace Jane Doe for being who she is. So, you know, for women of color, they have to start focusing on defying the negative stereotypes. It's just like, remember Dr. John Kim a couple months ago? Well, let me even say this first. A couple months ago with the girls in the video at McDonald's in New York fighting.
Oh, right.
The media, media loved that. They ate it up. Oh, look at these girls, these black girls, like wild animals fighting and like savages. But what disturbed me was not one person except you and I, outside of the two of us, no one was saying what needed to be done. There's a root cause. There's a problem. Or the other girl who, I think she beat up someone and Oh, one of the girls who was involved in the fight had allegedly attacked her grandmother. She had a violent history. And the response to her was, well, let's lock her up, incarcerate her. And that isn't always the answer. There's something deeply rooted, something that's wrong, that's deep down to her core. The fiber of her being is not good. And instead of them trying to address that, they want to continue putting her in the criminal system, where someone just say, you know what, maybe there's a real psychological issue with self-love, self-esteem. So you know me, I get in my little paddy wagon, I write a letter to the mayor of New York, and I tell him about this, and about, you know, I am beautiful, and how we teach girls to embrace and love themselves. And before you can even begin trying to address any issues, whether it's a girl or a woman of color, you know, or trying to propel them forward or change the behavior, you have to get into the core of them, the fiber of their being, and, you know, examine, do they really love themselves? What is their self-esteem level? And from looking at the girl on the footage and the film and the news, Dr. Jung Kim, I could see there were deep-rooted issues there. She was laughing as they were arresting her, but those were tears of a clown. It's like in Smokey Robinson's song. I think I said that backwards. But anyway, she was smiling and joking, but deep down inside, you could tell by the way she was laughing that she was really hurt. She was upset. She was scared. And you could just see it in her face. But nobody picked up on that. I have not heard one person in the media, whether it's a talk show, a news anchor, anyone say, wow, somebody needs to go in there with a serious, tough love intervention for this young lady. But instead, they damned her to hell. They condemned her. And I guess right now, she must be locked up somewhere. But that's something else that we see also. There needs to be more support. In a couple weeks, listeners, we're going to do a show on mental health within the communities of people of color. Because I think that was a serious mental health issue. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. I mean, just everything that you just said and what you saw in that McDonald's incident with the girl, I mean, it's obvious. The reason why the media kept playing it over and over is just say, see what I told you? This is how black people are. This is how black girls are in McDonald's, family-friendly restaurant. They have a fight. They argue. See, this is who they are. This is who they will become. Let's not invest in them because they're not important. They're trashy. They can fight. And you know what? They just end up going to prison. And not only that, they have babies, they have sex, and this is who black people are. So let's not invest in them because they're just troublemakers. And let's move on and, you know, really pay attention to people who matter, to our people, who we can help push forward and elevate. Because you know what? They're just a statistic that will just be on welfare. So let's not, like, invest in them at all. And that's really sad because, I mean, you hear it all the time, especially with the election coming up and people trying to run. You know, it's all over saying, you know, like, do we really want to help, you know, the people who are on welfare? Like, is it worth it? Because think about it. We live in a society where even immigrants have come and they have been successful. What about the black people? They're still stuck on welfare. You know why? Because they're lazy. They have all these opportunities. And these immigrants come, believing America is a land of opportunity. They become successful. So black people should have no excuse. So why are they still living on welfare, having babies? Because they like living on welfare. Because they're lazy. So they're not going to be successful. So why invest in them when, yeah, you can give them an education. You can send them to these high schools and elementary school. But they don't want to learn. They just want to be troublemakers. They want to fight like those girls at McDonald's. So let's not invest in them. And also, by the way, let's also close down a lot of their schools. But but don't blame me. I'm not a bad person. It's just that, you know, their schools just happen to be in bad neighborhoods because, you know, they live in welfare. So stop looking at me and blaming me for closing down their schools. Like, they just can't be helped. So let's move on, you know. And it's sad. It's sad because... And also what's sad is, you know, instead of looking at that, because nobody wants to help black people, because people have given up on them, have given up on the boys, the girls, the women. They can't be helped. But you know what? let's splash left and right all the news about Bruce Jenner becoming a woman and now wanting to be called Caitlyn. Now that's important news.
Yeah, that makes me
let's
sick.
Let's really focus on that. Yeah. But black people, well, let's give up on them. But a man that wants to become a woman, well, and now wants to be Caitlyn Jenner, well, I mean, that's important. That's big news. That's going to change the world and humanity.
And you know what bothers
me
about it? Yeah, you're right, Doctor. I agree with you totally because it annoyed me. And I'm saying, you know, no one has anything against anyone of any sexual orientation or ethnicity or whatever, but there's certain things in your personal life that I believe should just remain personal. And what this means is that when you're seeing them make such a big issue over this as opposed to really doing some good reporting, and let's talk about the issues that are affecting, you know, especially black people or people of color in general in their communities. And here's the thing. Let's talk about positive things. Let's talk about, okay, here's the issue, here's the problem, but this is what we recommend or we like to see done. And what bothers me especially, like in Baltimore, all the handouts, Dr. Jung Kim. Now, I understand people live in poverty and they need food and they need clothing, and I understand that, and I feel for them. But the answer is not always saying, let's give them some food and some clothes and shut them up. Give them free stuff.
Yeah.
The answer is no. What can we do when we're looking at these girls and women of color who, unfortunately, due to life circumstances, socioeconomic issues, levels, education, maybe not living in good communities, let's design something that's going to help lift them and get them out of here so they can achieve their dreams and goals. But this is what continues, and this is why I kind of like call the political leaders as well as the religious in Maryland. I said, you know what? I call them on it. You guys don't come take this to the forefront until there's an issue that is so bad and everybody's doing so much. And you know what? Behind the scenes, when the cameras are not on, they could really be doing a lot that we just don't know about. But I owned a news station, a big, huge conglomerate. I would have somebody on the ground in Maryland and Baltimore for the next 60 to 90 days reporting positive things that you see in the community.
Yeah.
Negativity, you know, what are you doing to build up programs for, and I keep telling people this, and I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and I don't do psychoanalysis, but Dr. Jung Kim, you and I both know this is a no-brainer. Before you can try and lift people up out of a situation that they're in, you have to instill in them to believe in themselves, to love who they are, to think so high of themselves that they want to get away from you know, the psychic prisons that they're caught in and the negative environment. And I'm not seeing that take place. And that's to the media's great delight, because they're looking and they're saying, oh, look at these poor people. There's nothing we can do for them. They're hopeless. So let's just give them free food and bags of food and clothing, and they'll be happy. And historically, that's what they think they should do in inner cities that are stricken with poverty. And Dr. Jung Kim, I'm telling you, they're so many young little girls that I saw there on the news when I went down there, and it was just heartbreaking because you see little girls, you see preteens, you see teens, you see the women. And if you just study their faces and look at them, you could see that at some point in time, especially the women, there was a glimmer that was, you know, it's no longer there, a spark where they had hope, where they thought they could do more. Mm-hmm. And just can't seem to rise above water for whatever reason. Now, I will admit racism is one of the biggest issues. There's a lot of racism here, and there's a lot of colorism here, and there's a lot of interracial diversity issues in Maryland, Baltimore. There really is, that nobody ever wants to talk about. But when I look at little girls, and I see a seven-year-old little girl who has a glimmer of hope in her eye of having, you know, doing better and having more, and then you see the environment or the circumstances that she's stuck in, and you look at the mother, the woman, you know, the women, and when I see some of them that are so complacent and so content with, well, hey, they gave me a free bag of food, I'm out of here, I'm going home and eating. And I'm saying, no, no. You just don't want a handout. You want a helping hand. And see, and that's the problem. When it comes to women of color, they're so used to stereotyping them, saying, it's just like the cover of the magazine or the journal before that showed like the American Dream, and it showed a young black woman holding a baby and the black man father in the background fading away.
Mm-hmm.
And basically trying to say, okay, this is what Black America is all about. This is what you see. And so that sends, like you said, to a naive person, the wrong message, when we should be seeing programs being put in place. And here's the problem, too, Dr. Jung Kim. When they do put programs in place, especially for women of color in inner cities, from poverty, you are in poverty, they give them these mediocre programs that where they do get the training, they can go into jobs that will forever be minimum. These people would never be able to make, you know, $150 an hour, $200 an hour. They're training them and gearing them toward jobs that are going to keep them in that lower income bracket. And then they turn around and say, oh, but we gave them job training.
Yeah.
So do you see why? And when you see women of color who are stereotyped into going into these positions or these roles, that is what bothers me.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. These big name companies will say, oh, no, our company shows diversity. See, look at all these people, the names, the demographics of the people that we've hired. See, we're not racist. We're very diverse. Okay, well, let me now see what positions they hold. Oh, searching a little further, you see people of color, well, they're the support people. They're the secretaries, the janitors, you know, like, okay, well, how about training them to move up to be like a manager or something? Oh, well, that's what you don't see. And they,
right.
You know, a lot of these companies think that's okay because, you know what, my company has diversity because I'm hiring people of color, but they're the support staff, you know? Or it goes with the same thing of, you know, there's all these people of color who are graduating from college in very, you know, good fields. They're going out to the job market, you know, trying to find jobs. They go through the interview, you know, and yet they get a job. And again, the company says, see, I'm showing diversity. I'm hiring people of color. But you're not training them to become managers, to become, you know, the CEOs, the CFOs. You're
That's
just,
right.
again, letting them be, you know, the lower level, first year, second year, like associate kind of positions. And you're not training them to move up. You're not investing in them. You're just keeping them where they are. And how is that helping them? How is that helping people of color? I think we need to be aware of that. This is what is happening in society. Not
and
simply saying, well, it's good enough that they're being hired for these companies. You know, what are they doing in the companies? Are we training them?
That's right. I can tell you, Dr. Jung Kim, I can remember years ago when I first started working. I think my first job was in my uncle's law office. My sister and I would do clerical work for him in the summer. And then I went on to work for him after that. I think after high school, when I was going to college, I worked for him as a receptionist. But I'm going to tell you what I saw, Dr. Jung Kim. I didn't want to be the person who was sitting at the desk answering the phones. I wanted to be doing the work they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Years, I have a you know, heavy legal background working in the law. And even when I was a senior litigation paralegal and I was learning aviation law and handling death cases, I saw, you know, you could see the status quo. And I said to myself, I don't want to be in a position where I always have to be the underdog. That's how I felt, because that's the type of work you were doing. I wanted to be the one making decisions. I wanted to do better. I wanted to have my office make the call, and I wanted to have better than what I had. But,
right.
You know, by me surrounding myself with the right type of people, my upbringing, the way I was raised, friends and so on, I was able to do that. And what I'm seeing is that what they're doing, especially with women of color, and this is why we have to break these stereotypical categories they want to place them into, is that you send a girl to a training program, and she becomes, let's say, a CNA. And the opportunities for her to advance without a college degree in the medical field are limited. So I remember a young lady saying to me a couple of months ago, used to be my neighbor, she said, well, I'm working a full-time job as a CNA, but I'm not making enough money to even afford my rent or to do this or to do that, and I'm working so many hours just to stay above water, I don't even have the time to go to school. I'm doing double shifts. So you see how that system locks them in?
Yeah.
And the possibility of her being able she wants to go to school, at least she wants to be a registered nurse or whatever she wants to be RN. The possibility of her achieving her dreams and her goals are so limited because of the position that she's been put into with that job. And I tried to tell another person this a couple weeks ago that, you know, it's fine, you have these training programs, but how far will that training program take that individual? And number two, while they're going through your training program, you should teach them not to get complacent, not to get comfortable, not to say, hey, I have a paycheck coming in, that's all I need. They should be looking at, okay, 5 years from now, I want to buy a home in a nice neighborhood where I can let my children go in my backyard and play, and I don't have to worry, where I can afford to buy a car. So what I'm seeing, that what's happening here in Maryland, is that they're taking the people from the inner cities and putting them out in the suburbs. And they call it gentrification, and they're bringing more whites into the inner cities where they're remodeling. And then there's also the side of the city that's really terrible. But what I'm seeing, Dr. John Kim, is that all of these young women are placed into these stereotypical categories. And they are not expected. There are no expectations for them to rise above their current plight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. And then when you bring it up and you talk about it, people think, oh, you're a rebel rouser, why not just let it be? I'm like, no, because when I turn on my television in the morning, I would like to see people of color reporting the news. I would like to walk into an office environment and see a CEO or president of a company who is a woman of color. I get tired of, and another good example where someone went on the interview and the black woman was very qualified for the job. She had the skill sets, she had everything. But the person making the decision to hire was an African person who did not want to hire the black girl. He wanted to hire the white girl just because she was white, because he thought that was a politically correct thing to do. Meanwhile, there are no other black women in this company working there. And the black woman, far her skill sets, everything, she was just the perfect fit for the job. But he found everything wrong with hiring this black woman because he wanted to hire the white girl. So that's something else that women of color have to deal with. Someone just said to me also, Dr. John Kim, a couple of weeks ago, well, you know, black people don't like to see a black woman with blonde hair. I'm mm-hmm. like, so, you know, so, and what's your point? And then she went on to say, well, you know, whites don't like it either. I'm like, let me explain something to you so you understand. My hair color's been honey blonde for God knows how many years. And I intentionally, Dr. John Kim, and you know I did this, I intentionally left it this color because I'm doing the colorism work. And I want to see people's reaction, whether I'm talking about colorism or girls or women of color, or whether I'm giving a presentation on diversity or something else. I want to see your reaction, because what I say to people, Dr. John Kim, is that I represent diversity at its best. And they look at me like, well, how the hell does she represent diversity at its best? So I'm a black woman, and I have honey blonde hair. And, you know, and I go on and on and on, and then they get it. But up until that point, Dr. John Kim, they don't understand that having an issue with my hair being honey blonde, they don't understand that that fits under the diversity category, embracing diversity. I don't have to look like you. I don't have to look like how you think a black woman should look in order for you to be okay with me. And furthermore, like I explained to the person, I really don't care if you're not okay with me, because I like me. I love myself. And at the end, though, you know, he came back and he said this, but this is what also keeps a lot. If you ever notice, Dr. John Kim, a lot of black women in corporate America, think about how they look. Just think about the appearance. You don't see flashiness. You see very plain, dark hair. Think about it.
Yeah.
You don't really see them with, well, some of them do have light-colored hair. Some do, but not a lot. But it's like it goes back to here in Maryland a couple of years ago, where a white company told a black employee that black women don't wear their hair blonde. They can't. They can't wear honey blonde hair. And I'm like, okay, so what if I said to you that you can't go out and lay in the sun getting burned and to have your skin as dark as I am? How about that? So what is the difference in me and somebody, me having a problem with you laying in the sun to look like a black person and you having a problem with this black woman having her hair dyed honey blonde? And you know what, Dr. Jung Kim, then they get it. Then the light bulb goes on. But I think there are too many issues where society is saying that because you are a woman of color, whether you're black, Asian, Latino, like you, you're an Asian woman, they expect you to fit into the category of having a Chinese restaurant. I remember we talked about this before.
Yeah. Chinese restaurant or like a martial arts school or a dry cleaners is what is expected from me. So it's kind of sad. But, you know, what you brought up earlier about the sun tanning example, I think you hit it on the head, is that people need to stop judging and really need to experience or understand what it feels like to be in our shoes. Because so often the first thing that enters their mind is judgment. You know, either you don't look like how you're supposed to look as a person of color, or, well, you, in my mind, and society tells me you have this, dreadlocks or dark skin, and so in my mind I'm categorizing you as, you know, this type of person. And we need to stop with that because it's damaging. And people who are not of color need to look at the other perspective and say, you know what, this person deserves an opportunity or a chance. Not because, simply because of the color of their skin or they're a minority, but because, you know what, there are a lot of people of color out there who merit it. They're very educated, they're articulate, they went to good schools. They're very hardworking. And once you get past these stereotypes in the mind, these, I believe that it will have the power to change society and change the lives of people of color. You know, instead of just saying, you know what, you're a black person, you live in a poor neighborhood, you're never going to rise up. We need to say, you know what, let me look at this again in a fresh perspective. And I'm not going to pay attention to what society and TV says about, you know, a person of color. I'm going to make my own decision because that's the right thing to do. And if I see someone who, you know, fits exactly what I'm looking for in the job market, then I'm going to hire them and I'm going to train them. And I'm not going to say, oh, you're a person of color, so I'm not going to invest in you, but I'm going to invest in you because you're a human being.
That's right.
And I think that mindset needs to change. And not to go back to like what we were talking about with, you know, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, but another thing like that kind of upset me about it is, you know, during the interviews, like, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner kept saying, oh, I just want to be like happy in my skin. And the thing that kind of, I understand him, her saying that, but at the same time, like when you think about our girls of color, like they want to be happy in the skin that they were born in, the bodies they were born in. Yeah, absolutely. I understand that feeling that you want to be comfortable. But the thing is, you know, Bruce Jenner had all this money to change his body into this woman. And so, you know, it's like, again, that shows privilege, you know, and I think a person like that, like, just doesn't understand the difference in privilege in society that exists. And, you know, kind of teaching, hey, you're not happy with the way you look, then you know what? You can just pay money and look different, and that's the way to feel more beautiful. Okay, that's not really the solution that we should be teaching our girls of color, that number one, money solves all problems and that you change who you are, but how about just embracing, teaching them being who you are? This is the way that God created you. Be happy, and, you know, I think that's more of what we have to do, is like change this mindset of thinking of people and society and our girls of color, instead of like these magazines and these TV shows saying, change it. Just go get plastic surgery. You know, I mean, changing your hair color is one thing, but plastic surgery, these like, and they make it seem so easy and just so effortless, but you know, it's a money issue. And you know, with all those shows that are out there, like Real Housewives, and that's another show like, oh, well, it's showing rich, successful black women. But look at what kind of limelight it's showing those women in. It's, again, it's not negative. It's not positive for women of color. You know, it's, again, making them seem like very negative, like very money hungry, very much into their looks. And yet, you know, a lot of girls of color are seeing that and saying, this is what I want to strive to become, a rich woman who lives like this and gets in these big emotional fights, you know, and then I'll feel like I made it.
And you want to know something, Dr. John Kim? Now that you said, you just made a light bulb go off in my head. It's a strong possibility that we see these girls in the street fighting and acting like that. Maybe they think that's the way to go, the way of getting the attention. Because they've seen these reality TV shows embrace this. Like, this is the way you're supposed to be. It's just like, remember the reality show? It was something to do with sorority girls. Girls were into sororities, sorority sisters or something. And they were black girls, and they just showed them as being these jealous-hearted, mean, vindictive, evil, nasty girls to each other. I think the show was canceled. I'm not sure. But here's something. The way they were depicting them in the media was horrible, just unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of young girls, and you made a really, really good point, they see this on television. And they see the news anchors be talking about, oh, Jane Doe did this to so-and-so on the show, and what's going to happen next week. And they see this nasty side of women. I'm wondering, do you think they believe that's how they should act because that's what they see in the media?
I think they feel like if, number one, they have their own show or they live these rich, extravagant lifestyles, then you know what? I've made it. Who needs education? You know,
that's true.
Who needs hard work? You just, number one, marry someone, you sleep around or whatever you need to do, and then you get in these cat fights, and you just worry about what you're going to look like, your hair, you get your nails done. You know, this is what it means to be successful in life. You know, who cares about doing well in school or taking care of yourself or having high self-esteem? Like, you just do what you need to do to, like, you know, be famous on TV. That's the quick way to be, you know, be popular, to be seen by others. And, you know, and so it makes people, like, their focus is, like, all different, you know. It's kind of like, you know, what's happening with students nowadays. It's no longer about going to school and enjoying learning and having, like, critical thinking skills. It's about, what do I need to do to get that perfect 4.0 or get that A in the class? Like, what do I need to do? Like, what kind of hurdles do I have to leap over? You know, and the whole process of learning and school and just enjoying your childhood, it's being thrown out. And I think that's another thing is, besides teaching our young girls, grow up fast. Don't have these days where you jump rope anymore or do the double dutch. I remember Obama saying, like, nobody knows how to do the double dutch anymore. Nobody knows how to have simple play dates. Everything is overscheduled. Everything is about, you know, being rich, being successful. But, you know, sometimes you got to take the time, enjoy the process. And, you know, it's one thing to have goals, but it's another thing to, it's another thing. I think it's another thing that we have to remember that these are young girls and they're very impressionable, and we have to walk with them and say, you know what? This is what you see on TV, but this is not real life.
That's right. That's right. You're right, and I think that's what happens. They get caught up and they lose focus as to what's reality. And here's something else, Dr. Jen Kim. I think a lot of them get so caught up also thinking that they have to be just like that, and if they're not, they can't cope. They can't function.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, what you see a movie star wearing on stage, the issues that they're dealing with. And I think we have to take them back to understanding that it's okay to be an original, be original in all that you do. One thing I can tell you, listeners, Dr. John Kim and I, every single thing, every project that we have going, everything that we do, we're original. And it's our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own little projects. And I think what's happening is that we don't see, you know, girls and women knowing that it's okay to be an original, to be original. It's okay to be you. and say to the world, I don't have to fit into the any category that you're trying to fit me into, whether I'm mixed race, I'm black, Asian, Latino, I'm Indian, regardless of where I come from, how I look, the texture of my hair, or the color of the skin, I'm going to be me. And if you can't accept me for being who I am and how I look, then that's your problem. It's not mine. And I think we need to see more of that type of focus and from girls and women of color. I'm being me. I'm doing me. And that's the bottom line. With no apologies. So I tried to tell this woman I was talking to the other day, I said, do you get it that one size does not fit all? That just because I am a black woman, I don't have to fit a certain category that you think all black women should fit into. And when you see that I don't fit that category, you panic because now you're saying, oh, where can I place her in my little stereotype chart that I have in my desk drawer that I use, or my iPhone, rather, that I use to categorize people that I deal with. So I know how to put on a certain face when I'm dealing with a black woman, when I'm dealing with an Asian woman or the Latina woman. I have to, and if I can't fit either one of these three women into the stereotypical categories that I think that they are supposed to fit in, then I hit the panic button. And you know what happens, Dr. Jung Kim? When they can't categorize you and they have that issue where they're stumped and they're like their mouths are like a deer stuck in a deer looking in headlights, look on their faces. Mm-hmm. What happens is that I think that's when you see a lot of negativity come out toward the women of color, because the problem is that, okay, she doesn't fit where I think she's supposed to fit. But again, she is black or she's Asian, but she doesn't act like them. I can't fit her into that category. So then, because fear of the unknown, and it goes back to psychic prisons again, because I have a fear of the unknown and I can't put Donna or Julie into one of these two categories, then I'm going to react in a negative way toward her because I'm afraid of the fact that I don't know what to do. And I really think we see a lot of that happening. Of course, nobody would ever admit to that. But, you know, I think that's one of the biggest issues. So I told you, it goes deeper than this. And we need to look at things at a much deeper level. We have to look at, other than the one size does not fit all, we have to teach girls and women of color that you can be bigger, better, and bolder than, anybody in this world. But you cannot allow yourself to get caught up in the stereotypes or be labeled as a trend. It's just like, remember Dr. Jung Kim when the natural hair issue came up and a lot of black women started wearing natural hair? What happened with that? It was you don't hear that much about it anymore.
But no,
there was a time
that was a trend.
Like a trend. And
And
I said to myself, you know what? They did that with hair. They do it with fashion. They still do it with standards of beauty. They do it with your educational level. You're not supposed to be, you can be smart and you can be educated, but you better not be too intelligent. And I remember a black woman said this to me years ago, and I think you know who I'm referring to. She said, you are doing too much. You need to just stop. And I'm like, stop what? Your projects and everything. I'm like, stop for what? Because I'm not going at the pace you want me to go at. You have a problem with that? Then that is your problem. But it's like Joel Osteen always says, the dreams in your heart were put there by God. Your ambitions, your visions, your goals were put there by God because he knows that you can do it. That's why he put them there. And my response to her was just that. But what bothered me was that she just basically said in so many words, as a black woman, you're not supposed to be doing everything you're doing. With Dr. Jung Kim being an Asian woman, she's not supposed to be doing everything that you guys are doing. You guys need to stop and slow it down. And I'm like, for who? Yep. For whose sake? For yours? And that's something else. We have to learn to think out of the box as women of color. And when we're thinking out of that box, I remember one of the affirmations you wrote for the Live Life Beautiful book, you wrote, there was one that was like really awesome about not letting people put you in a box. And people telling you that you have to be a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way, look a certain way. Do you remember that affirmation that you wrote?
Yeah, no, I do remember it. And I remember we once had a huge conversation about it. And it pretty much, you know, it's just a reminder that, you know, for example, myself, why would I, as much as I, you know, adore everything and would love to say that my accomplishments are the accomplishments of, I mean, that I have achieved everything that Dr. Colbert has, you know, because she is a very successful woman, but there's already a Dr. Colbert out there. The only thing I can do is be the best, you know, Julie Jung Kim that I can. And I think that's something that we have to all remember is stop trying to be, you know, so-and-so who's maybe famous. You know, try to figure out who you are created to be, because there's, or, you know, and be your unique self. And stop putting yourself in the box and allowing people to put you in the box and saying, this is who you are and this is who you have to become. Find out what your interests are. You know, develop your interest and live out your life. Live life beautiful, as the book says. And really, you know, if you need to constantly look that over that affirmation, which we've already have received so much feedback from young ladies and moms and women just saying, you know, my daughter reads this book of affirmations every day. And when she's feeling down, especially since the year is almost ending for school for a lot of girls, you know, and she's being overwhelmed with final exams and just papers that are due. My daughter's reading this book of affirmation every night, taking a break from studying, or the moms are saying, I'm making my daughter read it, or we're reading it together, because it's all this stuff, all these messages, all these things that you have to do. It becomes very overwhelming. Sometimes you need to just take a breath of fresh air, you know.
That's right.
And read an affirmation and know, okay, so I'm feeling all this stress, but you know what? I need to take time for myself and understand that I'm here right now. I can only take it one day at a time. I want to be like this person over here, but you know what? I am this person. This is who I crave to be. And, you know, my interests, my emotions, the things that I'm good at, the things that I'm not good at, it's okay. Because someday it will be used for a special, unique task that was made for just me to make a difference in this world. And that's the way you have to remember it. Only you have the power to make that change in this world. So use your education, use your relationships, the things that you've learned in, you know, broken relationships, in mistakes that you've made, and use it to your advantage and move forward from there and do something great with your life. And that's something that you are always saying too, and that's why this book was created. And we just really remember that, embrace that, and stop being held back by the mistakes in your life or the things that you are so scared might happen. And just take that chance and live your life beautiful.
That's right. And I think that is so beautiful, Dr. Jung Kim. It's like I always say, you know, fear is a state of mind. And you can't let yourself get caught in a psychic prison because you don't know. You know, step out there, be bold, be, you know, be daring. Mm-hmm. And just think, you know, I'm going to be bigger and better and bolder than I could ever imagine myself being. And John Johnson has a beautiful quote that I love. And it says, you can somehow think of success. I think he said something like this, in small steps, the closer you get to it, you know, the more steps you make, in so many words, the closer you get to achieving your goal. And it's just so easy. But I think a lot of women get caught up because they're afraid of not being accepted. They're afraid of the labels that society will place on them. You know, like one black woman said to me, you know, I get afraid that if I'm too aggressive, I'll be labeled as a loud, angry black woman. When, in fact, I'm just an intelligent black woman who wants to get where I, you know, to get some place in life. But if I try and assert myself, then I get labeled. And that's when I said to her, you know what, that's what's wrong in this society now. We're always trying to place labels on people and categorize them. Why can't we say, hey, there's John Doe, and John Doe's just who he is? And, you know, and I just told her, so many words, you have to keep the faith. Keep the faith in believing you. And this is one reason, listeners, why Dr. Jung Kim and I started the National Girls and Women of Color Council, because we talked about this last year when we wanted to launch it. And Dr. Jung Kim and I talked about, you know, the journal for the Journal of Colorism Studies, of having one special journal, one issue. And this has never been done in history, by the way, Dr. Jung Kim. where we are celebrating, embracing, and empowering girls and women of color. And our goal was to say to the world, look at us shining like shining stars, and say to the world, we're so much more than the negativity, than the trends and the stereotypes that society tries to place women of color into. And then we took it a step further, and which I think is going to be great, Dr. John Kim, by having a special section in the journal where we are recognizing, celebrating, embracing girls and women of color who are extraordinary and who are making history. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to be someone who invented a product, or it could be someone who's spending her extra time mentoring. It could be someone who's giving so freely of her time without compensation to do projects. It could be someone who, it could be a grandmother. It could be a young girl who's excelling at something. So our goal is to say to the world, look at us. We are so much more than trends and stereotypes. And we are so much more than women who you believe should stay, as I say this in quotes, in their place, end quote, and try and fit them into a box. Because if you think about it, Dr. John Kim, historically, women, and especially women of color, they were basically told they had to stay in those boxes. You can't come across this line.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, it's a problem. Right?
No, I was going to say, like, you know, in the work world especially, you know, we're told, if you talk too much, if you give your opinion, then you're, as a woman, you're too abrasive, you're too bossy, you're too aggressive. But, oh, for men, if they speak up and they speak their mind, well, they're just being assertive. And you know, if a woman talks too much, states her opinion, then, you know, we're told, pipe down, you know, because you come off as too aggressive, and that's insulting, and people feel uncomfortable with women that are knowledgeable and are aggressive, you know. But men, hey, they're just being assertive. And we need to change with even all that gender bias kind of thinking and say, you know, there's nothing wrong with a woman being bossy and being confident. And, you know, we need to make sure that more women and girls are confident and are managers and know that they can be high achieving and be successful in whatever they decide to do and not feel like, well, I'm a woman and this is as far as I can go. You know, I mean, yeah, we can have children, but we can also be successful too in whatever career we choose to do. I mean, it'll take some balance, of course, but I mean, we can do it. So just telling our girls, like, again, putting them in this box and telling them this is what you can or cannot do and this is the way you should act or not act, like, we need to stop with that and say it's okay. It's okay that as a female that you're strong and that you state your opinion and that you're confident, because we want more of that. We want confident girls. You know, I think it's never too much. We hear this from moms too. Well, I'm worried that my daughter may be too cocky if I keep encouraging her every day. But who else is she going to hear it from when the society every day is saying you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, your hair is ugly, you know, you're too fat, or, you know, like, it's the parents, it's these adults that need to come in and say, you know what, I accept you, I love you, you can make a change. And saying that every day, it's not too much, that child will not be cocky, that girl needs you to be her number one cheerleader and supporter.
That's right. And I think that it's so important that the parents do that, because, you know, when you start seeing so many little girls, and Dr. John Kim, sometimes it's just heartbreaking to see so many little girls who they're not getting that direction and that guidance. And they, because they're living in an environment or a situation, or they think, you know, I can't do any better than this. I'm stuck. I'm here and this is it. No, you can reach for the stars, put a plan together, have dreams, know that you are so much more in the negativity that we see society trying to portray black girls and women in those negative categories. You're so much more. You're bigger and better than that. It's just sometimes I think, Dr. John Kim, it's important for girls and women of color, and this is one of our affirmations I want to read. It's titled Defying Negative Stereotypes, about Women of Color, and it goes on to say, live in a society that does not always embrace or value the diverse spectrum of skin colors representing women of color throughout the world. Sometimes women of color are perceived negatively stereotyped, labeled as unattractive, ugly, and associated with negative views because of the color of their skin, the texture of their hair, the other phenotypes, and their racial category. These perceptions are unjust and designed to make you believe that in order to be considered beautiful, you must meet European standards of beauty. And this cannot be further from the truth. With every fiber of your being, listeners, and this comes from Dr. John Kim and I both, know that the color of your skin, the texture of your hair, the shape of your body, your nose, your lips, they're not indicators that you're inferior. They are not indicators that you're not beautiful, and they're definitely not indicators of what you can and will achieve in life. You know, it's up to you, and this can be done, but you have to remember, in unity, there is power, because there is power in numbers. So we can break down these skin racial barriers and let the world see that we embrace, value, and love the color of the diverse skin tones of all women of color, celebrate all women of color, and be proud. Be proud, especially of your skin color and how you look. And there's nothing wrong with enhancing what God has blessed you with. You know, just be realistic. I dye my hair, and I have nails, Dr. John Kim, and if I break a nail, I won't hesitate to put a fake one on there. And I could care less if somebody knew that. When I step out of my house, I put my best self forward. And this is something I want to leave you with. It was written by Jackson Lohman in 2013. A lily is no more beautiful than a rose, an oak tree no more beautiful than a palm tree, and an opal no more beautiful than a pearl. Each is beautiful in its own right, and each has unique value and plays a special role in nature, end quote. This is my saying after that. So understand that your skin color, your lips, your hair, your ethnicity, your race, whether you have straight, wavy, or kinky hair, whether you have a narrow nose, that does not make you any more beautiful. You know, having a narrow nose is no more beautiful than a broad nose. Beauty is diverse in every aspect, and each opinion or thought of what constitutes beauty is based on the individual. So because of this, and this is Dr. John Kim always says this, there needs to be more respect for diversity, for the diversity of beauty that can be found in our society. And it's important to know that no one standard of beauty is superior to any other standard, because beauty is indeed in the eye of the beholder. And Dr. John Kim, I think sometimes, you know, women get lost and they don't realize, they think, well, because of the color of my skin, my texture of my hair, facial features, or my body shape, that I'm just there. I'm just like Plato. I have to settle. I can't have any standards. And this is so wrong. As women of color, whether you're short, tall, you're heavy set or thin, whether you're shapely or not, you still have purpose on this planet. You know, find your purpose, your mission, look in the mirror, and acknowledge yourself as being God's masterpiece. And I'll tell you something about that in a minute too, Dr. John Kim. So, Dutch, know that you are beautiful just the way that you are, whether if you choose to enhance or not enhance. Love the woman or girl within and embrace your unique individuality. That's what's important. You know, because I think, Dr. John Kim, a lot of women don't do that. I think they get caught up in thinking, oh, well, I'm just here. So they lower their standards. They have no expectations, or they have standards that are set so low, it takes you nowhere in life. So,
yeah.
You know, rise above that. Don't let the negativity that we see in this world make you, as any girl or woman of color, think that you don't have value or self-worth. You don't have to assimilate. Be yourself. Defy negative stereotypes. And in unity, we can break down these race and skin color barriers. See, Dr. Duncan, everyone keeps talking about, oh, the glass ceiling. But there's a different type of glass ceiling that women of color deal with. See, we have to deal with not just the ordinary, normal glass ceiling issues, but we have to deal with the glass ceiling involving skin color and race.
Right.
And I think that's like a double whammy for women of color when it comes to stereotypes, negativity, how we're perceived. And unfortunately, we live in a society where it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, how much you have going for you, if you don't fit that standard that they think you should, then you're automatically ostracized. And I think that's what we're seeing. Am I wrong there? Is that too far-fetched?
No. You're absolutely, I love everything you said. And if I could take it just one step further. So everyone that's listening, I hope you have not turned off your radio because this is a great show. But honestly, everything that Dr. Colbert has said, I mean, you're listening today for a reason. Your life has meaning. You've listened this far on this radio show because this message is for you. I hope you take everything Dr. Colbreth and myself has said today. And I know it's easy for us, for you to see us, two doctors, you know, have written a book, you see us as successful, but please also know that today is your day. This message is for you. So I hope you go out there and realize that you would be more willing to take this risk. And I don't mean that you go, jump, close your eyes and jump without looking. That's reckless. No, what I'm saying is take the risk. Know that your life has purpose. Make a plan and go with your eyes open. And even though sometimes things don't go in the time and the way that you want, enjoy that journey and open your eyes and learn from each time that you have, that something does not happen as you want. Because that kind of stuff is going to happen, but don't let it, stop you from moving forward. I mean, when Dr. Colbert and I were talking about writing that book or even starting, I Am Beautiful or NGWCC, wow, did we hear all the critics? Did we hear, nobody cares about girls of color? Did we hear all the negativity? Absolutely. Did it affect us? Absolutely. Dr. Colbert and I would sit there and say, hearing a lot of negative things, and even people who are our friends are like, really, is this really what you want to do? I mean, you're very smart, but really, you really feel like there's really that market? There's really not that market, can't you write about something else, like academic, and really make your name out there as two academic females? Think about that. But Dr. Colbert and I would talk and say, no. This is what's needed now. Our girls of color need affirmation. Women of color need affirmation. It needs to happen now. And this is where the focus should be. And so we wrote and we sweat. And there are so many days where we wanted to throw our hands up and say, forget it. We're walking away. Even after the book was published, and even when we were looking for people to publish, we wanted to throw it up and just say, we're walking away, we're done. We had to take breaks sometimes, long breaks.
Yeah.
But it's done, and now looking back, it was worth it. And you know what? We're going to keep doing projects. We're going to keep moving forward because this is all for you. Because we know that there's so much negativity out there, and we want you to be successful. We want to be your cheerleaders. And if you don't have mom or dad or a guardian that's doing this for you, let us be those people. We know the psychological prisons that exist, all the negativity that exists. Let us be that buffer and help you to move forward.
And that is so beautiful, Dr. John Kim, because I think to all the young ladies, to the girls, the women of color out there listening, know that, whether it's an obstacle you're dealing with right now, maybe a setback, but I love Joe Osteen, and he always says this: when you have a setback, God is just preparing you for an awesome comeback. And you have to be prepared.
I love that.
And know that, be prepared for the comeback. You're getting prepared for that. And an obstacle is to make you stronger, to help you grow, to change maybe your thought processes, help you see things in a different light. But don't let anyone ever, ever make you think, as a woman of color, that you can't live your dreams, that you cannot be a success story. Dr. John Kim and I, we work very, very hard at everything. And like she noted earlier, don't think it's because we're doctors. You can do the same thing, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a course in God, regardless of what career path you've chosen. The ability to live life, beautiful, to achieve your dreams, live your dream, achieve your goals, it's within you. So if you get caught up in someone saying something about your hair color, the color of your skin, you are buying into the negative psychic prison that they've designed for you to get caught into. And so you have to realize that you must learn to define yourself for yourself, because define what beauty is to you. What is success to you? What does being happy really mean to you? Think about your self-esteem, your pride, self-respect, your identity. So you need to begin today. We recommend, rather, you begin today, you know, and make a list of how you really see the value and worth that you bring to the table. And remember, it's so important as girls and women, preteens, young girls of color, that you don't have to assimilate. You don't have to buy into the one-size-fits-all. And if somebody has a problem putting you into a stereotypical category because of their own ignorance, then remember, that is their problem. It is not your problem. And you can't allow someone else's narrow-minded, illogical thought processes to define you. Because by allowing them to define you, you're putting yourself in a box. You're closing the little flaps, and you're taping it up. And you're putting yourself in a crate. So, mm-hmm. I mean, begin today and start seeing that as a woman of color, as a girl of color, as a teen, preteen, young woman of color, you are not a trend. And you definitely are not a stereotype. And if someone tries to make you believe that, you need to put them in contact with Dr. Jung Kim and I. And we'll just set the record straight. So, I mean, I just think our goal is to help as many as we can, and for girls and women of color to understand that there's power in unity. Having said that, we urge you to get involved with the National Girls and Women of Color Council. If you have not already done so, the National Girls and Women of Color Council, along with I Am Beautiful. Oh, by the way, I forgot to announce Dr. Jung Kim to everyone. The National Girls and Women of Color Council, we received our nonprofit status letter from the IRS this week. Mm. So we are a nonprofit, and we're excited about that moving forward. But, you know, get involved. We started the National Girls and Women of Color Council, and I Am Beautiful, to help girls and women of color. So if you haven't already submitted an essay, an article, an interview, a book, or a movie review for the Journal of Colorism Studies, we have that special issue that is coming out, I think it's in October, November, in which we are celebrating, embracing, and empowering girls and women of color. Submit something for review and possible publication. Also, we also have going on now, where we're asking people for nominations of extraordinary girls and women of color who are making history in their own right. Remember, it doesn't have to be someone who's invented a new vaccine. It could be a young lady who started something in her community and she's doing well with it. Someone who's overcome obstacles to reach higher ground. So we're looking, you know, unlike the rest of the world, Dr. Jung Kim and I believe in looking at within, and we believe in saying to the world, there's so many people out here who are unsung leaders, change agents, trailblazers, and torchbearers who are working hard every day, and they're passionate about what they do, but yet they go unsung. They're not recognized. They're not noticed. No one gives them a big national prop. So what we're trying to do in collaboration with the Journal of Colorism Studies, we're doing that. So if you know someone who's making a difference, and who has made a difference, rather, in your life or other lives of others, nominate them to be an extraordinary girl or woman of color. And when the journal comes out, we will highlight, we'll have like a bio and a profile of each person that has been nominated in that journal. And here's the funny thing, Dr. Jung Kim and I always say this, we don't care if we have 10 or if we have 30. The journal will be published in print copy. This version of the journal is not going to be available online. It's going to be a print special issue that you'll be able to buy from Complexity Publishing, which is our publishing company. So this is, we're making history here. We're going down, we're making history because we want the world to see just who we are. And so far, Dr. Jung Kim, we have really good essays. We have some really good articles that are in there. So if you want to submit an essay, an article, an interview, book review, movie review, do so. Because Dr. Jung Kim, did we decide on opening up to poetry or did we say no poetry?
Oh, no, we said yes to poetry.
Okay, yes, if you want to submit a poem that celebrates, embraces, and empowers girls and women of color, do it. Because We want to say to the world, this is who we are. We are phenomenal women. And we are women who are breaking down barriers, and we're kicking stereotypes to the curbs, and we're putting a lot of the negativity that we see in the society about women of color, we're putting them in a pot on the back burner, and we're letting them burn. Join us. Dr. Jung Kim, do you want to add anything?
No, not at all. Just again, well, Dr. Kolbisch just talked about the magazine, and I hope all of you who are listening just know, like, I know you're probably listening to everything Dr. Kolbisch said, wow, that sounds like an amazing, amazing, issue. I can't submit. I mean, I'm not a writer. I'm not good at poetry. But, wow, I think the topic's wonderful. You know what? Just submit. The worst thing we can do is say no. So, but if you have a real interest in the topic, or you really feel like your heart, like you want to submit something, submit it, please. Like, we'd love to hear your voice. And, you know, I just want to emphasize again, like, this is a very important issue, and how awesome would it be to have you be a part of it. So please, if you want to talk to us, if you want to email, do so. We are here to support you. It's just that, you know, there are so many, as Dr. Kolbisch said, unsung heroes who really do deserve to be seen and heard. And even you, with all your talent out there, like, don't feel like you're too young or your writing's not good enough or whatever excuse you're coming up with. Stop with the excuses. Just submit your piece. We want to receive it, so submit it to us.
That's right. Submit it, and we'll review it. And if you need some, some changes or some edits, we'll work with you in doing that. Because our goal is, we want this to be such a phenomenal issue. And I think by doing this, we're saying to the world, hey, listen, this is what women of color are about. We have women from all walks of life, from different countries, who are submitting, and that's what makes it beautiful. And then when you're nominating someone, you know, nominate someone who, it could be someone internationally, because right now, Dr. Jung Kim, our list, well, listeners on the show, we, and I don't have the list in front of me, but I know it's Africa, the UK, Canada, I think Mexico. Our listener base has grown to, I think, what was it, 47,000 or 49,000 listeners, and that's phenomenal. So we know you hear us. So get up and don't be afraid, and don't think, oh, I may not write that well. But take a chance on you, bet on you. And when you're writing whatever you're going to submit, write from the standpoint that, hey, I'm bigger, better, and bolder than I've ever been. And I'm going to write this, and I'm going to submit it. And I think also we're encouraging a lot of young girls. We're looking for young girls to write essays. You can write a poem, celebrating, embracing, empowering each other. Because I believe, Dr. Jung Kim, by a young person seeing their writing in print, that's going to encourage them to want to write even more.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and another thing, too, is, you know, I just love all the feedback from all the listeners. As Dr. Kolbisch said, you know, it's international. We have our international listeners now. And, you know, it's almost like the feedback that we're getting is, why is this show, Complexity Radio, only once a week? Like, I want to end my day listening to the show, or I want to begin my day listening to the radio show. So Dr. Kolbisch has listened to you, and as you saw today in all her postings on Twitter and on Facebook, she's making changes.
Yeah, and that's right, gang. We're making big, and we're, Dr. Jung Kim, I'm so glad you brought that up. I forgot. We are expanding. Thank you. This is the most important part of the show. We are expanding. And we're looking to bring on hosts, because we want to have a host take care of a show on Monday evenings that'll talk about author interviews, where we would interview up-and-coming and new authors. It's called the Author Showcase. We're looking for a host to host that show, and we're also looking for a host to host our show on When Men Talk. And that show is going to be all about issues that men deal with. Of course, Dr. Jung Kim and I cannot host that show because we are not men. So we're looking for some guys, if you want to be a team, host, co-host, to join us. And you'll be talking about the issues. Look at our blog posts. We have what we're looking for, because we're expanding, we're growing. We have different shows, Mind, Body, and Soul on Wednesdays, Dr. Jung Kim and I on Thursdays, And I'm not sure about a Friday night show yet, but because we're expanding and because you said you wanted to hear more, we're giving you what you want. So if you're interested in these positions, submit your information. Dr. Jung Kim and I review it, and we'll get back to you and set up a run to see how well you do on the air. But know that everything that we're doing, listeners, from Complexity Publishing to I Am Beautiful, the Colorism Project, the talk radio show, the magazine, the journal. Did I leave anything out? The Mixed Race Identity, It Takes a Village, the books, Live Life Fabulous, Live Life Beautiful. We're doing all this for you to help everybody, because we know that with encouraging words, positive thought processes, all of us, everyone in this world, can achieve any goal and live their dreams. Just a matter of you realizing that that power to do that is within you. And sometimes we all need a push or a tug to help us get there. And we're giving you that push and that little tug and saying, come on, do it. Let's show the world that, especially women of color, we are so much more than a trend, and we're so much more than stereotypes they try to categorize us into. So, Dr. Kim, do you want to add anything?
No, you covered everything beautifully.
Okay, so listeners, we thank you for listening in tonight. And remember, we now have an iPhone app for Complexity Talk Radio, Complexity Live. And after this show, I'm going to archive it. It's also available on Podbean under Complexity Live. We have the Podbean. It'll be available on our actual ComplexityTalkRadio.com website under the archive section. And you can listen to us late tonight while you're, what, getting a shower, relaxing, driving to work tomorrow on your iPhone and listen to the show. So thank you for giving us the great feedback. We are honored and thrilled that you guys like what we're doing and know that we're just going to keep pushing on and keep rising to the top. So, Dr. Jung Kim, thank you so much tonight. It's been a wonderful, outstanding show. And we'll see you guys next. Okay, everyone, have a great evening and a wonderful weekend. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for Complexity Talk Radio, Complexity Live, with Dr. Donna Maria Colbreth. You may contact us at 866-829-0163. We're looking forward to your tuning in next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, remember, dare to be different and dream in color. For Complexity Talk Radio, Complexity Live, this is Heidi S. Montross signing off. Good night, everyone.